welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
First of all, thank you to Doxodeo Hatfield. When I came up the stairs, I was greeted, not by one person, not by two people, but by four people, and they were all very seriously friendly. So thank you, Angel. Where's Angel disappear? Oh, she's at the kids. Marlinez was there. So thank you, everybody. I feel at home here. I recognize a lot of faces as well. I won't say for how many years I have seen some of these faces. But it is awesome. My wife can't be here this morning. She's at our Doxodeo Ferry Glen campus. She's actually preaching there this morning, and I'm preaching here. So what a privilege that is. I'm grateful for that as well. And you know what I'm also grateful for? Coffee. I don't think I've ever preached with coffee on the table before. So this is a first for me. So thank you for that. Usually they give you a bottle of water. Yeah, you get coffee. I prefer this, just to say, so if you ever invite me again, this is the standard, thank you. I'll go with this one. So you're busy with a sermon series called Transitions, and that's the whole idea is about exits and entries. But actually life is just a whole bunch of transitions. If you think of life, you've transitioned in so many different places and different ways, and we're always going through these transitions because that is the journey that we are in. And sometimes these transitions are easy, and sometimes they're not that easy. Sometimes you do it alone, sometimes you do it with somebody. But you know what? God is always there. No matter what transition you go through, God is always there. Scripture says yesterday, today, and tomorrow is always the same. So there's something of that stability that we have in God. That no matter what transition, He is there. He is present. He can guide you through that. So when we exit some area, that becomes an opportunity to enter that a different area. And we then can access God's grace into that area. So we can go to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm leaving this area, but I'm going into this area. Thank you that I know I'm not alone. And you are going with me into that area. And you know what I also like about our faith? Our faith gives us handles for anything in life. If you believe in Jesus and you grow in your faith to maturity, anything that you will ever face, there will be an answer for that, because you'll never be alone. God knows you. He's with you. He's in us. He's journeying with us, and He wants to take us through all these transitions. He gives us access to His grace to go through these transitions. And then we also have this privilege of the Holy Spirit, just the empowering of the Holy Spirit within us. So you'll never be alone when you go through any transition. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you. So you will never go through that transition alone. And then we got this amazing thing. I don't have a physical Bible now. It's on my computer. Let me just see. Does somebody have a... There we go. And then we have the Bible as well. Thank you. That guides us through these transitions as well. It's a very resourceful piece of material that for any transition, we'll go into the Bible. And in the next season, I know you'll be diving into Scripture as well. This morning, we're also going to dive into two Scriptures. And I trust, and I actually want to invite you, just open up your heart this morning. If you have an expectation that God will speak to you, God will. And He might even use me. And maybe He'll just do it directly into your heart as well. And that should be our expectation. Every time we gather together, we need to have that expectation. God, here I am. Speak to me. And you know what? He's faithful. He will speak to you. Because He's in your journey. And He wants to journey with you. So last week, Joe kicked off the series and he spoke about the whole thing of reflecting. So that was the first one of exiting an area, but you need to reflect on what you've been through, what you're going through. Just take a moment and look back. And he says we actually have to plan for moments of reflection in our lives. Those moments where we can just sit and look back. You know, because if you take a moment and you reflect on what has happened, it can actually position you for what's coming. So we reflect on the past so that we can enter the future. That's what we do. We don't stay in the past. We don't get bogged down by the reflection of the past. You do that so that you can move forward, so that you can enter on. He actually made this statement. He says, looking back to look forward on your calling. I like that. Looking back to look forward on what God has in mind for you for the next season. So going through this, I actually try to come to a conclusion and count how many serious or major transitions I've had in my life. I'm not talking about moving house, that I've done 13 times just from being married. I'm not talking about those kind of, I'm talking major transitions. I came to 28. I'm sure as I go on, I'll get more major transitions in my life that I've been through. And the question is, when you go through those transitions, how do you look at it? Now, I may be a bit slow or stupid, but if I think back, I can't see too many bad things because the good things outweigh the bad things. And I choose to focus on what came out of it to position me for forward and not being bogged down and held back by the negativity. So the positive things always outweigh the negative by far. But you need to choose to allow that to fill your mind. So you're probably sitting there now, you're trying to count how many transitions you've been through. Okay, if you can't get past five, let me guide you in this. Just your journey to maturity. So some people are a bit more mature than others. Wimlui. So he's had a lot of transitions in his life. Some of us have less. But if you just think on your growth, when you were born, you were in a preschool probably, and then you would go to grade one. That's already a major transition. Then from primary school to high school, that's a huge transition. From high school, you will go to varsity or start working, another transition. You'll meet Jesus along this way, a major transition. Yeah, and then maybe if you're lucky, you'll meet the most wonderful woman. Or rather, you can't do that, I already got her. But the second most wonderful woman in your life, and then that's a major transition as well. And then maybe you'll change from work environments or different projects or different roles. All those transitions add up. The question is, how do we go through them? How do we navigate those transitions that we're going through? Okay, now you've got more than four already. Okay, I helped you there. But if you go and you make a list, you'll notice there are so many. I think the major thing is the way we exit one environment will determine the way we enter the next one. So hopefully when I talk about these transitions and like getting married, maybe hopefully you don't have to do that more than once. But even if that happens, if you have to exit and you have to enter, how do you do that? You cannot just continue. Leave what's behind and enter with what God is placing in front of you. So the level that you exit will determine the level at which you enter. Okay, that's a major statement. Fortunately, God's grace is bigger than our transactional understanding of things. But what I've learned is if you exit well, you'll enter well. So that's the first thing that you can make a note of. You got nice notepads? Did everybody get these little booklets to make notes in? Okay, then if you don't, just come and fetch one or just hand it out. And if you need it, or do that on your phone. I know this is a modern world, sorry. Just continue on your phone. Okay, so if we think of that, the one thing that I want to focus on this morning, and that's my privilege of speaking, one of the ways that you exit is with gratitude. We must create moments in our lives to say thank you. Thank you for what we've been through and focus on those things, because the way that you exit, if you exit with hate and disillusion, you'll enter with the same reality. If you exit being grateful for what you have, you'll probably be more grateful for what you get as well in the next season, because that would be your focus. So I don't know, Manalisa also said, just reflecting on the year, looking back, I don't know what your year was like. I don't know what you went through. Maybe you had some major transitions this year. I heard Vili had a major transition just the other day that he had to navigate with him and his family. So each of us go through these transitions. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you got a promotion, or maybe you got a demotion. Maybe you met somebody and you fell in love. Maybe you lost somebody. And you are navigating those transitions. All of us go through these transitions. So if you think back on this year, there might be some trials there. There might be some challenges there. But there will be more things to celebrate than there will be things to worry about. Okay, I'm going to just help you now. If you were wondering whether you are successful in navigating challenges and trials, the fact that you are here this morning means you've been 100% successful in surviving. The fact that you are here, otherwise you wouldn't have been here. So you've been 100%. So you can give yourself a tap on the shoulder. I am successful in surviving. There we go. Well done. So we all can do that. See, life is not so much what happens to us. It's what happens in us. So in all these things and all these transitions and everything that we go through, it's not so much what is happening to us. What is happening inside of us? Because that's what God's looking at. He says he looks at our hearts on the inside. So every transition, what's happening with your heart? And what can you be grateful for when you think of that? So we'll go through experiences, some positive, some negative. We'll go through a lot of things. But one thing that I've learned this year, once again, is that I can trust God. No matter what I go through, I can trust God. And I trust that that will be for you the same thing. Hopefully you will be able to say the same thing next year, at the end of the year. Been through a lot of things, but you know what? God is faithful. I trust in God. I don't trust in what God does for me. That's a big difference. Usually when we think of all the things that we are grateful for, we'll go to things. We'll go to God's provision. I want to say that's not the important thing. It's not about what God gives you, it's about who he is. Are we thankful for who he is? And not only what he does for us. Because that will never change. So if you can't think of things to be thankful for, then you haven't thought about God yet. Just take a moment and think about who he is. There will be more than enough to be grateful for. Even if the circumstances... The thing is, if you start focusing and you want to be thankful for all the physical stuff, all the material stuff, your focus will go into that. Instead of going into the eternal and spiritual. Those are the things that we need to be thankful for. Because those are the things that last. The physical stuff will pass away. Eternal things don't. So start focusing on those kind of things. So I think one of the people in the Bible that I think probably went through the most transitions was Paul. If you read his letters, that guy went through. I think, I wish and I trust that God will never take me through that journey that he's been through. Just want to say, I don't want to go through his transitions. Yeah, thank you that he did it so that I don't have to do that, I think. But he's been through major transitions. So if he has something to say to us, I think we should listen. So we're going to focus on two portions of scripture where Paul was writing to two different churches. And the one is in Colossians 2 verse 6 to 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 2 gives us some handles there, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, there are some more. So let's look at this portion of scripture, verse 16 to 19. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, for you. Do not quench the spirit. So we're going to get back to these scriptures. But first of all, I want to go and I want to quote science for a moment. There were people that did a lot of research from the medical and the psychological industry on the idea of being thankful. What is the effect of having a lifestyle of gratitude? What does that do to you? And they did research on that and they came up with this list, which I'm going to share with you. The first thing they said, people that have a lifestyle of gratitude, they have more joy in their life. Okay, who wants joy? Okay, it'll be like, so he's giving us a handle there. He says, the next thing is it reduces depression. Being grateful reduces depression. Scientifically, they determined this. It increases resilience, your ability to bounce back from hard times. If you are thankful, that increases your capacity to do that. It even influences your physical reality. It improves blood pressure. Measured that if you live a lifestyle of thankfulness, your blood pressure is better. It gives you more energy, especially this time of the year. Who needs energy? Yeah, yes, please. You know what? I'm going on leave Monday. I just need energy until then. And you know how I get there? He says you must just be thankful. So I'm going to thank a lot this last week. It reduces chronic pain. That's weird. Who would think that something like thankfulness could do something to your physical experiences? Now, obviously, there are other realities. It's just one of the things that reduces chronic pain. It makes you live longer. People that are thankful get older, and they're happy while doing it. Just remember, number one, joy. Okay, so the next thing is people with a lifestyle of gratitude are more prone to help others. We all want to serve, we all want to help others. I say if you're grateful, you'll probably do that more often. And you'll more easily fit into a community like this wonderful community you have in Hatfield if you have an attitude of gratitude. People that have thoughts of thankfulness before they go to bed actually sleep better. That's why I sleep that well. Because I'm so thankful that I've got this amazing wife that I fall asleep next to every night. So I sleep like a... So there's, if you're not sleeping well, there we start maybe there. They say people with an attitude of thanksgiving feel better about themselves. So your whole self-image changes. It has an influence on our physical reality, but it also has an influence on our self-image, the way that we view the world when we think of thanks with an attitude of thanksgiving. Something physically actually happens when you're thankful. It happens in your brain. There are two hormones that are produced and set free in your brain, and that's called serotonin and dopamine. They call the feel happy hormones. Okay, and you know what? It's much cheaper than drugs. So what they're saying is if you have an attitude of thanksgiving and you do that often, something is released in your brain that makes you feel better. It's cheaper than alcohol, man. Dopamine. Yeah, dopamine and serotonin. Those are the two hormones that are set free. So just think for a moment. Isn't that a privilege, the way that God made us? He made us to be grateful because he knows when you do that, something happens with you. You feel better about life. So the question would be, how do I live a life of gratitude, even if I don't feel like it in the moment? Okay, so now I'm going to try something that I shouldn't be trying. My wife is not here. She would have warned me I shouldn't try this. I'm going to try and sing because I can't sing at all. Not even almost, and you'll notice that. So when you recognize the song, it's not that song. It's my own song. Yeah, because you're going to think it should sound that way, and it's not going to sound that way. Okay, so here it goes. When I'm feeling blue, you recognize the song? All I have to do, and I'm going to change the word, is say thank you. That was a Phil Collins song. Remember that song? Hey, I almost have the guts to try and do it again, but I won't. I'm just going to read it. When I'm feeling blue, all I have to do is say thank you. And it takes you out of that. If that's the only thing you take away this morning, remember the guy that can't sing said that. It'll already change your life. See, psychology gives us answers to a lot of problems. But you know what I like the most about psychology? Is when they discover what the Bible's already said. You can go and read a lot of the stuff. Whatever they discover, it's already been written or it's already been designed because God is the creator and he's the designer of life. He's the designer of who we are. So if you really want to understand, science can only discover what God made. And then they can try and explain it. And that's what psychology and science does. It discovers something. So if we really want to understand how to get through this, I think a good place to start is, what did God say? What does he have to say about it? And that's where the Bible is so powerful. When we start reading the Bible and we're understanding this from that perspective, God is the designer, and I read this word and allowing that word to make me understand what I'm going through, there will be power in that. So let's try this again. I'm going to go back to 2 Colossians and 1 Thessalonians. So let's start with 2 Colossians, verse 6 to 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So we were created with the ability to choose. What distinguishes man, human beings, from the rest of creation? We have choice. We can choose how we engage this world or not. So let's take the scripture and break it down a bit. First of all, he says, receive Christ Jesus as Lord. There's an open invitation. That Jesus comes and he says, here I am. You can choose to receive me or not. You can choose to accept me as your Lord, or you can choose not to. So that's the first key, receiving Jesus Christ. and all that he has done with us. When you receive Jesus, you don't only receive him, you receive everything that goes with Jesus. What did that one guy say? When God comes and moves into your heart, he brings all his luggage with. He comes and moves and makes home inside of you. The next thing is, it says, walk in him. When I thought about that, it's not only attend him, not coming to every once a week a Sunday service. It says walk in him. Walk in him means every day of your life. Every moment, walk in him. Be with him. It's not just the moment running from one spiritual experience to the next. It's walking in him. Then he goes on and he says, rooted and built up in him. It speaks of word and spirit. It's going down so that you can go up. It's going deeper so that you can go higher. But actually, if you think of the word rooted, rooted is an organic reaction of a tree to seek water. Organically, it will grow towards the source of water. When we are rooted in Christ, we must be growing towards him. He is the source of life. Are we organically, naturally just moving in that direction? Be planted in those areas? And then the other one, it says built up. And built up speaks of something of a something that is built on to something that you do. And I want to say that's where the spiritual disciplines come in. What are you building into your life? Are you building in Christ and allowing what the word says to be built into your life? And then it goes on, it says, established in faith. See, established speaks of a consistency. It's not a random, it's not like the waves of the sea to and fro. You, now you're here, then you're there. It speaks of being established in him, a consistency in your faith. And then the one that we are focusing on today is abounding in thanksgiving. Okay, just to put that in younger terms, it's OTT, in thanksgiving. Okay, now the older people, I'll have to explain to you. That means over the top. Yeah, it says you need to be over the top. That's the latest translation, in thanksgiving. Or it could be FOMO, huh? That's another one I understand, yeah. Because if you don't do it, you're going to miss out. It's a fear of missing out. Maybe if you don't do thanksgiving, it might be a failure of a missed opportunity, which is also FOMO. So don't miss out on the opportunities to say thank you. Go OTT and completely FOMO on it. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 19. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Don't we all want to live in the will of God? Do not quench the spirit. There's actually much more. I just stopped there. You can go and read through the whole 1 Thessalonians and just go and see all the different things he mentions. Just because of time, I want to stop there. So Paul is actually reminding us that we should have a different attitude. And if you read these scriptures, there are a lot of verbs in here. Now, verbs are those action words, the do words. And if you read this, it says, rejoice always. So what do we need to do? Rejoice. And when do we need to do it? Okay, you got it. So what is it? It's rejoice always. Now let's try the next one. Pray without ceasing. What do we need to do? When do we need to do it? Without ceasing. It says give thanks in all circumstances. What do we need to do? When do we need to do it? Yes, you're a slim bunch of people. These are clever people. They're A-class. And it says, do not quench the spirit. Because you know what the spirit does? It's interesting, he doesn't say, encourage the spirit. He says, do not quench the spirit. So the spirit wants to do something. We choose to quench the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is something that is produced through you. The gifts of the spirit are something that's given to you. So if it's not functioning in your life, maybe you're quenching it. Sometimes we think we want all the works and the stuff of the spirit, and God wants to do it, but are we maybe quenching it? Not allowing it? Not trusting God enough that if he says do that, do that? He says, do not quench the spirit. So we need to live with an attitude of gratitude. Can we say that again? We need to live with an attitude of gratitude. So let's think of how we can do that. So the first thing is, think of the things that you have and not of the things that you do not have. So be grateful for what you have and focus less on what you do not have. If you've got a car, be grateful you have one. Don't think so much on the Porsche that you do not have or other car. Be grateful what you've got already. know what a practical tip for me is? Is when we pray for our food. Who does that? That's a habit. Okay, who has the same rhyme you pray every time? Yeah, don't have to put up your hands. Here's a tip for you. What if we take those moments and we just make it a moment of thanking God for something? Just take something that's already existing in your life and you say, you know what, Lord, what happened today? No, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for the food, but thank you for family. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you that I could have come to church this morning, even if it's raining. Thank you for the rain. And you take those moments and you start building them into your life. So there are places that you can already take and form a new habit, because it's sometimes difficult forming a new habit, especially if you're in a negative spiral, because that's apparently fashion nowadays. I don't know, have you noticed young people, they can complain about everything, and then when they're very old, they continue. Choose to change that. Choose to say thank you. Okay, the next thing is, think on who you have in your life. And if you can't think of somebody, think of Mona Lisa. At least there's somebody in your life. Think of each other. Just who is in your life that you can be grateful for? We need to live with an attitude of gratitude and tell people what you appreciate about them. Start speaking that. Jason said it was so amazing, the worship this morning. Thank you. Thank you for ministering to us this morning, worship team. It was amazing just to worship God, and God used you as instruments. So thank you. And Jason, thank you for your energy. Yeah, isn't that amazing? A host that you just want to be in church with a guy like this, huh? No, he just excites you and energizes you. No, this is a lucky place. Oh, I thought I'm going to give the rest of that money almost. And then I realized, but this is not my campus. But maybe I should do it anyway. Yeah, for the kingdom. Well, we're only one church in the city anyway, so there's only actually one church in Christ. One God, one church, and then we are in one city. Okay, let's take the next one. Before I go there, places that you can actually do this quite easily is just in your everyday life. I'm in Parkview campus. I started to get to know the cleaners in Parkview campus. You know what I do now? Is I would just, if I walk past them, they're cleaning, I would say, thank you for cleaning this building so that I can walk in it, so that I can have a place that feels I want to be in. What does it do to me? Nothing. It actually does a lot to me. It changes the way I see the people. It changes the way I see in my environment, because I'm grateful for what God has done. It does a lot to that person as well, but it actually does more to me. Start thanking people, the car guards. What will it take from you just to say, thank you for looking after my car? You don't have to tip them even. They probably will appreciate the thank you more than the money. Okay, maybe not. We need to live with an attitude of gratitude. Do something for someone that you don't need to do, but you are able to do. Just doing something nice to them. Now you're going to think, how do I do that? Easy. We live in a city that has an interesting traffic regulation understanding. People drive in a way that's not the way I would think it should happen. But what if I would just give somebody an opportunity that wants to come into the circle first? I can do that. It's not going to take anything from me. Maybe I'll be 10 seconds later. For such other taxi, you know what? I know you guys have to travel up and down all day. Take the space. It's fine. I won't be that late. Okay, now I'm touching an area where I shouldn't be going. Huh? Taxis. How about that? If we just have a different attitude and saying, thank you for transporting all these people to places where they can work, where they can earn a living, where they can take money home and feed their family, then maybe we'll view them also in a different way. And then you give them a gap once. Okay. You know what was interesting to me? I was in the UK a while ago. So there was this lady, an old lady that wants to get onto the subway, onto the train. So I move and I want to help her. She looks at me. What the heck are you doing? I said, I just want to help you. Don't help me. I thought, what kind of environment's that? I don't want to live in a place like that. But I did it anyway, because somebody needs to change it. So now, you know what? I'm just here to serve you. Nothing, it's taking nothing away from me, but it's changing the culture. Little bit by little bit. Okay, here's a good one. Smile more. Okay, you see what smiling does? It's contagious. It's like yawning. You know, when they say when people don't respond to that, they're psychopaths. Everybody's smiling now. Oh, got it. Okay. I actually watched a series once when they said, if somebody yawns when you don't yawn, they're a psychopath. I don't think it's true. It's just a story. Maybe it is. I don't know. Okay. We need to live with an attitude of gratitude. Social media. How about you engage and express gratitude instead of platitude? Okay, now nobody knows what that word means. Okay, that's just being mundane, being tired. Just communicating the normal everyday stuff. How about you communicate gratitude and not complain on social media? How about we change that platform that's now the biggest gossip platform to the most greatest gratitude, thanksgiving platform? All social media environments. How about we go and start working for the newspaper and helping them just write their articles slightly different? That they will just put some thankful things in there as well and not only all the bad stuff. Changing the culture. We can do that. Okay, then the last one. Journal. Journal all the things that you're grateful for. Write down what you're grateful for. You got those little booklets there. Write them in. If you've got a journal, start writing what you're grateful for and allow what you're grateful for to far outweigh what you're concerned about. It'll change the way that you function. Be more grateful because you will be grateful that you were. Can I say that again? Be more grateful because you will be grateful that you were, because something happens to you when you are grateful. So the more you do that, the more grateful you will be. It changes your whole attitude. The last thing that I want to stop at is just, if we want to form a habit, we need to do it. So we need to get habits into our lives. We need to have rhythms of gratitude. Exiting every day with gratitude. Exiting every week with gratitude. Exiting a month or a term or a year with gratitude. This is the perfect time of the year to think back and say, Lord, thank you for what happened this year. I've actually got in my calendar a portion on a Sunday evening, reflect and look back on the week that's passed. Just to be grateful for what has happened this week? What has God done to me? And what's worked through me? What didn't work that I need to take into the next week? But what am I grateful for? Get those habits in your life. When you get up in the morning, it's so amazing. The last while, it's just started happening probably now about a year. I wake up starting to speak to Jesus. I wake up and I'm praying. That's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, is just speak to God. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that I could be here. And I've started doing that now. I didn't do it intentionally, because usually I'd get up and I'd try and wake up, and then I would need to go and exercise, and then I would have my Bible reading time and my prayer time. So, but now I wake up and I just say, thank you, Lord. And I start praying into exercising and whatever's going already. Just being thankful. Make that part of your life. When you go to bed at night, end of the day, thank you, Lord. That's what I want to do. So I want to land this morning and give a time of reflection, and maybe you can take your notes. That were you writing in, and maybe write down something now. See if you can write down three things at least that you're grateful for right now. I'm not going to leave you there, just write it down. If you battle, look at the person next to you and just copy what they're grateful for. Go for it and write down something.